Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Oh, hello there. A little bit before the music, like in Friends. That's good, isn't it? We're doing another live show, Pete.
We are, yes. Our second live show at the London Podcast Festival this September.
It's on September the 14th. It's at 7 p.m. It's a Saturday night at 7 p.m. So Saturday night. Not doing the laundry with your Uber Vice. Come down, buy a ticket, and please do come and watch the live show. It'll be fun. It'll be fun of frolics, I can promise that. It'll be full of me and Pete, definitely. It'll be full of at least one, maybe two guests. Ooh. There are some exciting names in the mix, aren't there?
Yes.
Good bit of housekeeping. Lovely bit of business there, Peter. Anyway, please enjoy this episode of Friends with Friends with the wonderful Sean Welby. But before you do it, I'm going to leave a 40-second pause so you can log on to the King's Place website and buy not one, not two, but many tickets to our live show.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. I'm Pete Allison, here's Dave Cribb.
Hello, are you well?
Yes, thank you. Not bad at all, are you?
Yes, very well, thank you. It's raining today, so I am wet, but I did bring an umbrella for the first time in my life. I feel like a grown-up because I think I'm 33 and I genuinely think it's the first time I've ever left the flat having seen it's raining and deliberately taking an umbrella. So I feel pretty grown up right now.
It's very mature, very organised.
It is, isn't it? And as I'm sure will be discussed in a moment, I'm in a new studio, in a new office, because we've moved due to health and safety reasons. Our entire other building got shut down last week, so...
It got shut down due to health and safety?
Yeah.
What did you do in it?
Apparently somebody opened a window onto the street and the window just fell straight down onto the street, four floors below. And they had to close a whole tube station. So we were booted out and moved to what can only be described as a building very unsuitable for our needs. But as our guest, I'm sure, will tell you, our guest today on Friends with Friends, Pete, is the wonderful radio presenter from Heart Radio. It's Sean Welby. Hi, Sean Welby.
Hello.
I feel like you've got opinions on the building before we start talking about Friends.
Well, I started thinking Dave's winding me up and this is some sort of test. I got in, he was like, he just texted me saying, oh, by the way, it's not a weird thing, but can you just ask for Big Owl?
Great Big Owl.
I was like, great big owl. And so when I went to reception, I thought, this is definitely a prank and she's going to laugh. And I was like, okay, they've told me I have to say I'm here for great big owl. And she smiled. She was like, right, okay, yeah, go to floor four. So I get in the lift. There is no four. I'm like, right, he's winding me up. There's not even a floor four. And then I realise there's like 10 different lifts, all with different odds and evens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I didn't tell you about that.
Oh, that's odd.
Well, you know, building aside, let's talk about Friends, shall we? Which is why we are here.
It is.
To discuss. What is your history and relationship with the television programme Friends on a scale of one to I've watched every episode 100 times?
Oh, no, I'm probably like, I'm one of those people that can binge it.
Yeah.
And it depends. It's like on a rainy day like this, I could sit and probably watch 20 back to back.
Yeah.
I'm one of those types. So you probably will catch me out on like real finesse.
There's no catching out, Sean. We're all friends here. We're all friends here. We've had people on this podcast that are much, much worse.
Okay.
And people that can't recall any details.
Oh, God. Okay.
So
no.
It's absolutely fine. Pete, we're going to have to confess something here because Sean's episode was chosen by basically us texting backwards and forwards.
Yeah. And okay. It's a mutual decision.
Yeah, well, basically, in the end, what happened was Sean went, I just can't decide. There's too many. Let's talk about some options. So yeah, so we threw some out and we've landed
on. This is the
one
we've got. The one with the thumb.
The one with... It's so early.
Yes,
so
episode
early.
Three.
Of the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's nice to watch old Friends. Where do you fall in the old versus new?
It's funny because I think the very first episode, it feels a bit weird because they're not the characters as you know them yet.
Yeah.
So that one always feels a little bit awkward for me, but... It's amazing how by episode three, I'm thinking, wow, they've got it. Everyone has got their little niches and their traits by this point.
Yeah, they start sewing in like things that last for 10 years as well, like Chandler smoking and all this sort of stuff. All right, let's talk about episode three of series one, Pete, the one with a thumb. Here is the synopsis as provided by Wikipedia that I have not read before I read out. So this is always fun. Monica becomes irritated when everyone likes her new boyfriend, Alan, more than she does. Meanwhile, Chandler starts smoking again. When the group complains, he diverts their attention to their own flaws. And Phoebe gets money credited into her bank account that isn't hers. When she calls to inform about the error, she ends up getting more money, so she gives it to a homeless friend who buys her a can of soda, only to find a thumb in it. Phoebe then uses the money compensated from the soda company to pay Chandler to quit smoking. That's quite a succinct synopsis, actually. Well done, Wikipedia. Sometimes they are rubbish.
But how script writers would come up with that plot? When you read it like that, you're like, what?
Yeah, when you read the short, like, three lines, you're like, this is mad.
Well, also, to come up with something that's quite weird, like Phoebe finding a thumb in a can of soda after just three episodes. Like,
yes!
This is the point so where you're weird. Using all your finest ideas that you've had stashed up throughout your entire career, and then three episodes in, you're like, severed thumb in a tin.
Yeah, it's so true, isn't it? Because episode one was... like introducing them, but it was Ross getting divorced. So episode one, like the big plot is Carol's a lesbian.
Yes.
Ross is now single. Episode two, they find out she's pregnant.
That's right.
So that's the one where Ross is like becoming a father. So they're like, cool, breakup, pregnancy, thumb in a can of coke. So it's a real curveball, isn't
it? It's like they thought, whoa, 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 we need to slow down here. We're giving away all the best stuff. Let's just put a thumb one in. Yeah, just throw it in there. Do one on Phoebe.
It's really weird, isn't it, watching this? Because... I don't know if you clock this, but they're doing quite a lot of like weird observational material that like a stand-up would do that they don't do any, you know, as the series progresses. So like right at the start, they're just talking about Phoebe comes home from a date and goes, oh, he said it's not you. No, he said, what did they say?
We should do this again.
We should do this again. Yeah, yeah. And then they all basically teach Rachel about all the sort of anachronisms of dating. And when someone says, oh, it's not you, it means it is you and all this. And it's proper like, it feels now like 25 years later, quite hack.
Yeah,
they're all having that conversation about what we would now refer to as ghosting, aren't they?
I was thinking that.
All the examples they're giving, it's just ghosting.
Yeah, because watching it back, you're like, oh, yeah, we all know this. But then probably, as with a lot of Friends, they were some of the first people to do all this, because this was like one of the first sitcoms about like modern dating in the 90s and being young in a city and stuff. And it's mad to think that was probably like one of the first times on TV that was talked about.
No, it's cool. And that's how I think of it. Like I remember being, you know, in primary school and my friend's older sister had all the, you know, like the perfect box of VHSs that made the words. It all spelled it out, didn't it? And it was like perfect. And I really remember that. And that's when I first was introduced to Friends. So I was in primary school. But I remember thinking, oh, one day I want to live with all my mates. And coming from Nottingham, I remember getting to a point thinking, I'll never do the Friends thing because I didn't go to uni.
Right.
So I remember feeling quite gutted. I thought, I'm never going to do the Friends thing. And then I came to London and I ended up living with six people.
Did you?
It was exactly, well, obviously not exactly the same, but wow, you start seeing those chats and those similarities and go, yeah, we did that.
Yeah, that is mad. I don't think I've ever done the exact like living with six people thing, but I always wanted to do that thing where you've got a flat and then someone's got a flat opposite. And
oh,
like...
yeah, me too. I wish that we had that more. Like the two flats where you can pop in and out is perfect.
All the doors are never locked.
Yeah.
Time I've ever had that is uni halls. That's the only time I think that actually happens to people.
Yeah, it does feel a bit like uni halls, that, doesn't it? They also do the bit, this is really weird because literally about 3 days ago someone in the pub was talking about the tip of a guy's finger to his index finger to his tip of his thumb, and like I was like, this is 25 years on and people are still having the same conversations in pubs.
And it's funny that you walk it, that's just part of like it cuts to that, like the mid chat talking about that, you think, where's that come from?
And
again, it's
really
a random
nice.
episode. It's a funny episode because it is so random with the chat, but it is exactly how a normal day kind of goes off, in that you start here and you go to work and chat to someone else and you go somewhere else and then the whole day becomes the weirdest day
and then you find a thumb
classic
Tuesday.
Oh, happens too much.
Yeah, I know. If I had $7,000 for every time I found a thumb. Right, so we've got three options. We've got Chandler smoking storyline.
Yes.
We've got Phoebe and the thumb.
Yep.
And we've got Alan. Where would you like to start?
Should we start with smoking? Because that's kind of like at the very beginning. What I like about that, well, it starts obviously with Chandler just going through lines with Joey. Mm. And then sort of teaching him how to smoke cool. And that resonates, I think, with a lot of us because everyone had that day, even if you don't smoke now. I mean, I don't, but I remember trying to look cool. And you've got to do this. You've got to take it down. You've got to hold it like that. And that really like brought back memories for me.
We forget, don't we, that in the early days of Friends, Joe was quite a successful actor. He's in a play. He's in lots of plays in the first season. And then they just stop him being good.
Quite a gritty part. He's reciting the lines.
Yeah. There is, however, in this, one of those Alarm Bell Friends moments, which I think...
I've written it down, yeah.
Alex Zane brought it up about a year ago on this podcast, didn't he? And he was sort of randomly referring to it. But when Chandler says, relax your wrist, and then goes, oh, not that much. And it's like, oh dear.
And they're both horrified at the relaxed wrist.
Yeah. A little casual Friends homophobia alarm there coming in. So Chandler, basically, so he weirdly goes... flips really quickly from not missing it at all, because Joey says, do you miss it? Because he does all this sort of like big spiel, doesn't he, about like, oh, it's the thing that's been missing from your hand. And he goes, do you miss it? And he goes, no. Yeah. And then he takes a drag and he's like, boom, straight back in there.
Yeah. And I think, and also that again reminds you of a time smoking inside. It's that whole thing where it just kind of,
it looks really odd.
It does look weird, doesn't it? Especially when you see him doing it later in Central Perk. And you think, what? Or at his desk as well later in the episode. So it's like a really strange scenario where you go, oh yeah, smoking was okay inside. That's weird in itself.
Also, not only is he smoking at work, he's also storing his lit cigarette in a wooden drawer.
Yes. That really bugged me, actually.
That scene's so weird, isn't it?
It's very weird. And then he's got like two different sprays. One of them's a mint breath freshener. And the other one's like an air freshener. And then the comedy obviously comes in him spraying the wrong one into his mouth.
Yeah. But it's like one of the only bits of Friends I think I can ever remember. Well, it's a good like minute and a half of no dialogue and just a bit of music.
Just some plonky bass guitar.
Almost been like black and white with just like... piano playing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's just so odd, isn't it? And all for this joke where he sprays the wrong thing into his mouth. And part of me's like, it wasn't worth the payoff, lads. Fun fact, I mean, I say fun fact, quite a niche fact. The music, Pete, that plays when Chandler's smoking in his cubicle is used again in Friends a few series later when in the episode with David Arquette. This is real niche.
This is niche.
Okay.
But when you watch it next, when you see that episode next, so...
when he's stalking? He's following her. Yes.
It's when Phoebe starts...
I can see it,
When Phoebe starts following him back. Do you remember at the end of that episode? And she's following David Arquette, and it's the exact same music, and it comes back like five seasons later.
They probably, bought the sound.
Got the rights. Will anyone ever remember or flag this up on a niche podcast? Probably not.
Nah.
Yeah, sucks to be you guys. Lazy sods.
You know the scene where Chandler is smoking outside on the balcony?
Oh, yeah.
In the rain, and he wants to come inside. He knocks on the window to be let in. Did you notice that the very clear plastic window, it actually moves when he knocks on it?
Does it?
I assume they've added in the glass tapping sound effect, because the plastic window pane moves, and also the whole frame of the window seems to bend as he puts pressure on it, too.
Oh, I didn't notice that. That's really nice. That's really
have to look at that.
That's proper early days before they'd properly fitted out the set, isn't it?
I just think, put glass in there. You know, things like that. It's like, if you're going to drink a coffee, please put the coffee in
just
the
put
cup.
Fill the mug.
Fill the mug.
Don't you think that's the one thing that you spot in any movie when they're pretending to drink and you think of all the things. You've done this incredible acting. You're going to win an Oscar.
Yeah.
And you have not convinced me there's anything in that cup.
And
it really annoys me.
And also, just like, you spent so much money on this. You've built a set.
Yeah.
You can afford... just a bit of liquid.
Yeah.
Just pop anything in there. A bit of water, it's fine. But yeah, it's because people, when there's no liquid, people always sip like a whole, they like tip the whole mug up.
Yeah, they go...
which you would never do. Like, it's like they're drinking the dregs of the coffee. And it's like, no, lads, you just take a little sip.
And they hold the cup differently because there's no weight in it. Yeah. The whole thing, that's one of my...
shambles,
biggest,
mate.
Yeah, it's a shambles.
Absolute shambles. There are real drinks in this Friends episode, though. There's a lot
They have coffees, don't they?
Yeah, there's a lot of Rachel.
Yeah, the iced tea, yeah.
Yeah, we're still in that phase of Rachel being a terrible waitress, aren't we? Where she gives everyone the wrong drink and they have to all pass it around.
Yeah, also the fact that they quite sweetly don't want to sort of knock her and make her feel bad about it. They sort of go along with it just because they realise she's really proud of it.
Until all the flaws start coming up, and then Phoebe...
Yes.
Like, it escalates that scene a bit, doesn't it?
Yes, it does
because
escalate.
It's like, it goes from like Phoebe chewing her hair and Joe doing his knuckles, which are all sort of like little, you know, like little nice features of someone that you're like, that's the thing they do. And then Phoebe just goes, Rachel goes, oh, I better get back to work. And Phoebe goes, yeah, well, otherwise someone will get what they ordered for once. And it's like,
she really levels up the bitchiness.
Yeah. Where's that come from? And then they all start really going at it. But yeah, Phoebe, the weird thing is, out of those traits that the friends have, I don't think we see, apart from Ross pronouncing his words.
Yeah, Ross is accurate.
Yeah, the rest of them.
We never see Phoebe chewing her hair again, I don't think.
Never hear Monica snort.
No, that annoys me, actually, because you think that is not a trait of Monica at all.
It's weird, isn't it?
This has happened in another episode, isn't it? There's one where they suggest that Monica is a huge gossip, and it's only in that episode where
Rachel's the huge
gossip. Rachel,
In the resolutions one. Yeah, the one with all the resolutions. But yeah, I mean, that is Chandler smoking, and then the thumb thing, which we'll come on to in a minute, resolves, doesn't it? Because Phoebe goes, I'll give you $7,000 to stop smoking.
Yeah.
Which he does not. Because we know he smokes again later in the series.
Back, yeah.
Technically, he owes us $7,000.
Well, I refuse to believe the transaction ever happened.
Yeah, that's true.
You know those moments where you like say that to a mate, like, I'll give you 100 quid if you do that. There's never, no one's giving money. There's no 100 quid ever being exchanged.
If I was Chandler in that situation, though, I'd be like, here are my bank details.
Yeah, well, I'd make sure she did the transfer very quickly.
Yeah, I would really like that $7,000, please. Thumb or Alan?
Oh, let's do Alan because the Alan thing... Yeah, the Alan thing's quite fun, actually.
Yeah, Alan thing is quite... I quite like Alan.
Yeah.
It's a shame he's only a one-episode character.
It's funny how initially when they first meet him, I don't know if you remember, he walks through the door and he does an impression of her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, so weird.
Yes.
That's quite meta, isn't
it? It's so meta. So the setup is Monica... This is, again, like a kind of a thing that doesn't really transpire to be in the rest of the series, but... You are led to believe in episode 3 of the whole sitcom that all the friends are really judgmental of Monica's boyfriends.
Yeah.
And she's really terrified to bring someone home. And
they always hate him.
Yeah. And they always find something to take the piss out of him from. And there's a guy called Steve who spoke like this. Steve. And and so they all sort of do an impression of him, don't they?
Yeah, which is quite mean, actually. In hindsight, that probably wouldn't get through these days.
No, it wouldn't. It's just the speech impediment the poor guy's got. But then Alan turns up. And the first thing he says is something with that same speech impediment, which I think I remember watching this at first and not understanding what had happened when I was a kid.
They were laughing, thinking, no, it's another one with a weird speech impediment.
With the same speech impediment.
And I was like, that's Monica's thing. Monica, stop dating people with speech impediments. That's so you.
It's so bizarre, isn't it? But you're right. It's quite meta because we must believe then that Monica's had a conversation with Alan. Hey, let's be honest. She's been on like 2 dates with.
Yeah, about her previous ex-boyfriend. Yeah. How everyone's taken the piss and now do the impression, break the ice. Like, what?
It's so bizarre, isn't it? Like, it's very, like, it's too early in that relationship for them to have been talking about that.
Yeah, it really is. Because it literally, I think they've had one date or something. Yeah, it's bizarre.
It's also weird after one date for Alan to be coming around and meeting 5 of her close friends at her apartment.
Yeah, that's quite intense, isn't it?
Including her brother.
Yeah.
It's like he's auditioning.
Yeah. And he passes the audition guide. So they all really like Alan.
Yeah, so they love Alan. That's the kind of, like, reveal... Everyone loves him. And the next thing you know, I mean, this bonding with Alan, it escalates. Next thing you know, they've all come back from a baseball game. What the hell happened?
Yeah, I didn't understand. Like, suddenly Rachel is a massive sports enthusiast.
Oh,
when
Pete, I thought this. Pete, I was like, that is not a Rachel thing to come back from the baseball.
No, no, exactly. So
She's wearing the merch and all sorts.
So they've all been playing baseball or softball. And they've all been playing. And 2 things struck me about that. One... You're right. That is not a Rachel thing. That's definitely more of a Monica thing.
Yeah.
To be competitive and
play sports. Competitive and
sporty. Also, why is Monica not at the softball game with her boyfriend and all their mates? And it's not like she's been working. She just sat having a coffee in Central Park.
Yes, good point. She's not there, is she?
She's not even there watching. How has that possibly transpired?
So now they're dating him behind her back.
Yeah.
It is. With that moment, it does jar. You think, whoa, where have they all been? And I couldn't work out what... I think the big reveal as well was, so how did it go? And you're thinking, what's happened? And they're like, we won! Yeah. It's like, what? Wait, the biggest thing is, where the hell were you? Why the fuck were you with my boyfriend without me
exactly.
playing baseball?
I know, if you were someone like that had never seen Friends, and you saw that scene, your brain would be like, okay, so in like all the other episodes of Friends previously, they always come back from the baseball and they've always lost. Do you know what I mean? It's like an ongoing thing. Oh, isn't it funny? They always lose. But this is the first and only time they ever play sports together, apart from like the ones where it's the main plot, like the football or the rugby. But it's like the first, it's the only time it ever happens and we don't see any of it.
But they also... Wait, I'm just thinking about it more. The other weird thing is that Alan isn't with them, so, so he doesn't even come back to meet Monica.
Why are he and Monica avoiding each other?
So true, isn't
it? He's just like, bye, Alan, we're all going to go and have a coffee now, but you're not invited. Cheers. We're going to slag you off.
Cheers for your help. Yeah, exactly. Everything about that.
It's weird, isn't it?
Doesn't make any sense now that we really... This is the problem with this podcast. We dig in too deep and then we...
It's
pull
fascinating.
All the threads.
Yeah, because as well, like you say, if now, I mean, I suppose it's episode 3, so you have to give them that kind of waiver. But Monica is so perfectionist. She would never go for a... Like, if we go back to Steve, I can imagine that annoying Monica. It's not like Monica wouldn't know that was annoying.
Yes.
Because that's her trait. True. She'd be like, oh, God. You'd rather the episode be like, oh, I couldn't date him when I found out this.
Yeah, right. But Alan's perfect. That's what we find out. And then, so they do the thing... Where they do this quite a lot in early Friends, where they do, how do I describe this? Where they liken a thing to another thing. That's what I've got
liken
for you guys.
Liken a thing to another thing.
You know, so the breakup is, so Monica's breaking up with Alan, but she has to tell the friends, and it's like she's breaking up with the friends.
Oh, yes.
There's definitely a word for that, and I can't think of what it is because it's early in the morning and my brain's tired. But it works really well. It happens like... at various points in the first like 3 or 4 seasons of Friends.
It's like when Monica has to admit to Rachel that she went shopping with Julie.
Right. And it's like, and she's cheated on her.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. They copy the recognisable traits of a breakup and they're here.
Yeah, exactly.
The
There's loads of bits. Like when they come back from getting peed on by the... after the jellyfish sting.
Yes.
And they pee and they do like a whole sort of like detective reveal where Chandler's like, it was a dog day. You know, like, and they're sort of strolling around... strolling around the apartment. But yeah, it's just a really well-trodden trait now. But again, when it happened in Friends, it was probably like fairly groundbreaking in the early days. And all the friends are gutted. They're all gutted that Monica's going to break up with Alan. And then it's a really strange twist, isn't it? So the twist is that Alan hated them all along.
Yeah.
Can't stand them, yeah.
Which then maybe does explain why I didn't come to Central Perk. He was like, God, get the fuck out of here.
Couldn't wait to get rid of them.
I had to babysit you all afternoon.
Do you ever, like, sometimes I watch movies like this. Like, I was watching that Chernobyl, which is like a really, like, very serious, very dark series. And there's this one bit where the guy smashes up a phone. He just says to this one guy, I need a new phone. And the guy runs off and I think, I'd love to watch what happens now. I want to follow his story. Where the hell did he
Where's
find
he
a new phone? Like in the middle of like wartime Russia, where did he find this phone? And the same with like these kind of plots where you think, what was going on? Like, I want to know his inner thoughts. I want to know what Alan was thinking after the baseball game, or whatever, softball game.
Yeah.
What was he thinking?
Well, yeah, what was going through his head?
Was he slagging them off at his work going, oh my God, I love this girl, but... her friends.
Yeah, but there's a lot of strange, like, he's really weirdly invested in the group, isn't he? Like, he rings Chandler to tell him to stop smoking, like, bizarrely, in
the
Central
cafe.
Perk.
I'm just going to ring the cafe and just intervene.
Rings the cafe, and yeah, Rachel picks up. It's very odd. I can't quite work out what's happened there. But he's obviously very invested in it.
Yeah, and I suppose it's that thing that anything Alan says is gold. It makes Chandler quit.
Yeah.
Briefly, that is what makes Chandler quit.
Yeah.
Because Alan... Oh, no, that is what makes him quit. Yeah. And he's only thinking of getting it going back at the end. Yeah. But yeah, good on... But people have that, don't they, where you can tell somebody the same thing 10 times and then someone else in the office says it.
Yeah.
Like someone, Alan.
Yeah.
There's always an Alan.
There's always a fucking Alan, isn't
there?
Yeah, you've made this point. You know, you've made this point to these people.
Yeah, loads of times. You're like, oh, you probably shouldn't do that. Oh, watch your head and do that. Whatever it is. And then Alan says it. And they're like, oh, yeah, I won't do that. Like, I've been telling you this for ages.
Someone comes up with an idea in like the pub that you've had and you've told everyone
about.
Yeah,
you told them,
like,
probably.
You're like, yeah, you're like, that was, I said that.
Yeah.
Why are you saying the thing back to me?
Yeah.
Weird other bit of this storyline is a, like, quite a prominent part for a non-main cast member with Paula. Who is Monica's...
the chef friend.
Friend at the restaurant.
Does she come back? Is she ever in it again?
I don't think so, no.
You never. Guys would know, surely, because I was thinking that.
I don't think she does. I don't recognise her.
No, well, she was. So the actor
I'm Googling,
that plays
by the
Paula... Yeah, well, so I Googled her. She was in Fresh Prince.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, as Will Smith's aunt Helen.
Aunt Helen.
And she's also in Blackish, which I've never seen. So, but she's in a got quite a
prominent role.
She's
got quite a nice little role. It's a shame in a way, because that would have been quite a good dynamic, because it's quite a good little scene with them two chatting.
Yeah, she's in it like for two or three scenes.
She's actually got a bit of, you actually get a sense of what her personality is like as well, because she talks about people she's dated as well. She's not just sort of there to be someone to bounce off Monica. She's got a bit of chat.
Yeah, she? That's what I mean. It's a really strangely prominent role for like basically an extra. You don't get that a lot in Friends.
No, it's true.
And also, probably at this stage, I can't think of many diverse characters in that sitcom over the next 10 years that have such a prominent role. She's probably...
Yeah, that's true. Does Joey count as being like half Italian?
Apart from Charlie, when Charlie comes in.
Yes, Charlie,
It's very... We've been through this before. It's a very, very white sitcom. But
it is, but I suppose they all were. You look at all the others at that time of Seinfeld and whatever. Yeah. They all were, weren't they?
Yeah, but they've obviously introduced this like sassy black friend into this plotline. She's really funny. She just, and then they're like, no.
At one point, she says something like, I've had my fair share of beef or something. Yeah. You know what you think? Yeah. All right.
Oh, that's very good. There's a really funny line in the bit when Monica's breaking up with the friends as well, where Phoebe says, oh, she goes, we need to talk. And Phoebe goes, oh, I'm getting a deja vu.
Oh, yes.
And she goes, oh, no, it's weird. And then she goes, we need to talk. She goes, oh, there it is. It's a really nice, weird little Phoebe moment.
It is, because actually you don't see that coming. And sometimes with Phoebe's jokes, you know what's coming.
Yeah.
But I didn't quite, that caught me off and I thought that's quite funny.
Yeah.
Can I give you a weird fact about deja vu?
Always.
Do you know why you get it? Do you know why you get that feeling?
No.
It's apparently when a memory has gone into long-term and bypassed short-term. And long-term is always a memory, so you think you're remembering it, but actually it's something that's just happened that's gone straight back.
Oh, rather than being interesting.
Yeah.
That is good fact.
Thanks.
Oh, a little bit of psychology.
Bit of science with Welby.
Yeah. Hello. God, this podcast has taken a classy upturn.
I know, you've increased the intelligence levels, Sean.
Yeah.
Thanks. That's as much as it can go, I'm afraid, because I will now drag it back down again.
Yeah.
You heard of Great Big Owl?
Yes, they make this podcast.
Yeah, but not just this podcast.
You're shitting me. Name some others.
Well, there's Trolled.
We had Luciana Berger and Gary Lineker coming on.
Oh, yeah, and there's Crime Club.
Did you get done for that?
Yeah.
There's The Fear.
It's a kid's show. They really, really scared me.
There's Always There.
Thanks very much, because I would never have gone down Howard's way had you not asked me.
There's Friends with Friends.
Shoving a funnel in Joey's mouth and Rachel pours fat down.
And there's Ask the Nincompoops.
Kids ask us the questions they want answered.
That's for kids. We shouldn't have sworn earlier.
Bollocks.
Quick, play the sting.
Great Big Owl.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Let's talk about Phoebe then. So Speaking thereof, Phoebe and the Thumb. So if you haven't watched this for a while, it starts because Phoebe gets $500 put in her bank account. She complains to the bank. The bank then puts another $500 into a bank. You know, it's all this.
Which in itself is odd.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't the bank just be like, oh, sorry about that. Thanks for telling us. Sorted. Like, surely a bank wouldn't then just give you £500 because you pointed out a mistake.
It's hardly an inconvenience to have more
money. It's very generous.
Yeah. Well, at the best, they'd be like, keep the 500.
Yeah, it's weird because we just know how banks are. Like, even if, you know, you hear like stories of, you know, being at a cash point and loads of cash, you know, maybe you walk over there and someone hasn't taken theirs.
Yeah.
And if you took that 100 quid or whatever, that would be stealing.
Yeah.
So it's like banks aren't just willing to go, oh, it was there. You know what I mean? Take it, you know. You seize the moment.
The real curveball is the football phone.
Yes, that is odd.
I don't quite get that, but maybe that is a joke, an in-joke in American giveaways.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I wondered.
Yeah.
I wondered if there was loads of like infomercials where they're like, and a free football phone.
Sure. That makes sense because there's a lot of American references that we've discussed in this podcast before, which is like,
what is this?
I don't know what's going on.
It could just be, like a known tacky free gift.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I think the tacky free, a bit like, and you get a Parker pen just for inquiring. Yeah. Is our version.
Parker pen!
With Michael Parkinson.
Yeah, I had thought of Parker as well then. Axe of Sun Life.
How many people, though, got the Sun Life because of the pen? I mean, absolutely. Maybe the football phone thing, maybe it works. I don't know.
Are Parker pens still on? Are they still a thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Are they? Do people still love them? Because they were really on when we were at school.
Oh, yeah.
You have to write with a bloody fountain pen or proper pen, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, nobody writes anymore. Never mind. With a Parker. When was the last time you saw a Parker pen in real life? That's my question to both of you. Yeah. Tumbleweed.
I don't know.
This is a very niche thing for me to tell you. I once had a limited edition Leeds United Parker pen from when Leeds were in the Champions League. It was like a corporate gift my dad was given.
Amazing.
Which is probably now worth quite a bit, but yeah, I have no idea where it was because no one wants Parker pens these days.
No one needs a Parker. Maybe I'm going
to
buy it.
Shout out to Parker pens.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't get an endorsement after this, then you get a free Parker pen just for listening to this podcast. Thank you.
Oh, that'd be wonderful if we could start giving it away to everybody that listens.
They're quite expensive, aren't they?
Yeah. Absolutely. Oof. I wouldn't know what to do with them, though. If they delivered 100 Parker pens tomorrow, I would not know what to do with them. Mm. But you can get in touch at our friends WF if you are a representative of the Parker industry.
I'm sure they listen.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Yeah, so she gets the football phone. And the 500 quid. So then it turns out that because of the inconvenience, they give her another 500.
Yeah.
Now she's got £1,000 of money that isn't hers in a bank. And obviously, when she tells her mates, what everyone else would say, oh my God, this is amazing. What would you know, what are you going to spend it on?
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to spend it.
No, so she gives it to one episode character, Lizzie the homeless person.
Yeah, I always think I'm a nice person, but that whole thing annoyed me. I was like, you don't give her the whole 1,000. You don't know the rest of the series. You don't know how your future's going. You spend the rest of it like pretty skin floating in and out.
But the whole thing is that nobody would react how Phoebe reacted. When they get $500 in their account, like everybody reacts like... Rachel reacts. Rachel looks over and goes, what bank is this? And everyone's going like, I want all the free cash. But Phoebe doesn't realize that. She's like ridiculously moral and she doesn't want even the free $500. I'd be like, you just wouldn't. Nobody else would have complained, would they?
Well, my mum is exactly like
really?
This. Yeah, like, you know when you go, oh, mum, you're lovely, but you are just too honest. Yeah. Too honest. She'll talk herself out of discount. They'll be at the till like going, this has got 10% off. And my mum will go, oh, well, I'm not sure because I did pick it from that part of the shop. So I don't know if this is in on the discount. I'm like, oh, just shut up, take the discount. Honestly, my mum's found cash on the floor, free floating cash, and picked it up and gone around asking people in a WH Smith if they've lost anything. And then somebody went, I've lost some cash. And my mum handed all this cash.
That's so sad on two levels because you're just giving that away to a liar.
Yes, you know what I mean? Not the
Someone's
real owner.
Someone's lost the cash and then a chancer is getting free cash because your mum's too nice.
Yeah, whereas my mum would probably say if she had kept it and not given it to the one that's like pulling the stunt.
The liar.
Then she probably would have like done something really sweet.
Give it
with
to charity.
Money. Yeah, but no, too honest. And so that's the one bit of Phoebe I thought, my mum would do that. She'd be like, oh no, I can't spend. That's not mine.
I would be afraid that if I spent it, the bank would then ring and be like, oh, we've noticed we've put this, we're taking the money back out, and then I've just accidentally spent £500 of my own money. That would be my fear.
Pete, I agree, because I remember that story about that woman who had like a weird glitch where she got like £1 million put in her like debit account and just went mental and just went, oh, well, this is mine now. That's the rules. And spent it all. Then obviously was like, it was just a nightmare. She had to pay it all back.
The scene with Lizzie, the homeless person, is a rare occasion, and they obviously decided this was too expensive, but they film on the actual street.
Proper yes. outside, yeah.
It's not like a weird set street.
No, it does seem like, I don't know what how they did it. What, did they ever film, or was it always sets, but it looks more real, or was that actually in New York?
It must have been New York, because there's so looks, much going
that
on.
That looks like
buses
a
and cars
street, yeah.
and some excellent business acting. Did you notice that behind, if you ever go and watch this back, when Phoebe's giving...
A really unnatural wave, isn't there?
giving Lizzie the cash and the phone. There's a man in a suit behind, like really overly
oh,
waving
I love
at a man on a bench. And then they stand up and have a chat and walk off to a business meeting all in suits. It's really good.
I love that in Central Perk. One of my favourite things to do is watch the extras having conversations in the background, but trying to do enough hand movements yeah. that you spot them and they
yeah,
get their break.
So you'll be in, yeah, exactly. Yeah. As if a casting director's watching it and going, oh, that is wonderful acting.
Fantastic.
They've really done
They really
good.
Did point well there yeah. and then did the thumbs up and yeah. then, it, oh, I think they're acting confused with the shrug shoulders and it's like way over the top, isn't it?
But. Janet, call Tom Cruise's agent and cancel him. We found the person that's going to play this part. But yeah, so yeah, it's really, but it feels odd, doesn't it, when it's on the real street?
Yeah, and but that's quite nice because... Because it can feel very setty sometimes. And yeah. so that moment is quite nice being out on the street. Well, apart from the fact it's mainly based around someone being homeless. But yeah. I mean, in general, the aesthetics are lovely. Yeah. But yeah, she's like in this doorway. And they obviously have this relationship. She knows her. She says, I've bought you some alphabet soup. And then what I love about this character is they've made the homeless person picky.
Yes.
She doesn't want the vowels. In the soup. I think that's what it was. She said, have you picked the vowels?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then Phoebe makes a point of saying about the Y's, doesn't she? Because she's not sure whether Y's a vowel or not.
That's right, yeah. And again, that is like one of those things you think only exists in like a sitcom. I'll never forget offering to buy a homeless person, it's a night out, and offering to get them a McDonald's because they were like, I'm so hungry. I said, well, I'll get you McDonald's. What do you want? They were like, I'd love a cheeseburger and a milkshake. I was like, I will get it. So I went into McDonald's, got the cheeseburger. They'd run out of milkshake. So I got him a Coke, came back out, and he was like, what's that? I was like, oh, it's a Coke. They'd run out of milkshake. He was like, I'm all right. And he didn't even want any of it. And I was so annoyed of how picky he'd been. I was like, what? But I've just gone in, especially,
yeah.
and I've bought you this whole meal. And it's like, nah, I really wanted a milkshake. So I was like, oh my God.
Then Lizzie offers her the tinfoil hat.
Oh, yes.
Really strange.
Which implies
moment.
That she's yeah. got this, you know, what does that always mean? Like alien
yeah,
aliens,
communications
conspiracy.
And all of that sort yeah. of, yeah, yeah. And then, yeah, Phoebe says no, because you need that. That's quite a funny, nice moment. Then she buys her this soda and Phoebe finds her thumb.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. So this happens because she says, she offers her the £1,000, the phone, the everything. And this woman at the beginning is obviously like, Lizzie is like, oh, I can't accept this.
Yeah.
And it takes maybe three. It's the power of three, isn't it?
Yeah.
She asks her three times and she's like, okay. So she takes the £1,000
yeah.
and Phoebe's like, well, if you buy me a soda, we're even. So they go and find like a classic hot dog stand, don't they? And they get the soda from him.
Yeah.
I don't really understand what they were thinking at this point.
No, what's
I don't
going
get
on?
It.
It's just, it's a real curveball, isn't it?
Also, for an episode titled The One with the thumb appears very late on. There's only about sort of 6-7 minutes left by the time the thumb's in it.
Yeah. So then she finds a thumb and then the phone company gives her all the money and then she offers to give it to Chandler to stop smoking. The end. That's kind of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It kind of
yeah.
it just runs away. It's like, they're like, do you know what would be the best way to wrap this story up, guys? If she finds a thumb in her soda, someone's going, oh, yeah, yeah, cool. That makes sense. The end.
It really could have, the Alan thing could have carried on, the smoking yeah. thing. Anything could have been the punchline, but then the throwing in the, maybe it was really like, we've got to get across Phoebe as quick as we can in this episode.
Yeah.
And you do learn a lot about Phoebe in that episode, so I suppose it kind of works.
Oh, it does. Yeah, yeah, you're right. It does. A lot of Phoebe's like character traits and little strange things come up, don't they? And
yeah.
you go, yeah, yeah, we get Phoebe now.
We get
She's
it.
The sort of person that gives away loads of money. Should we do the quiz?
Oh,
yes.
Time for the quiz.
Quiz, quiz, quiz. Yeah. Question one. How long is it since Chandler smoked?
Oh. Yeah. Oh, they say at the beginning. I don't. I'm going to say 4 years.
Oh, it's very close.
Close.
3 years.
Oh.
Question two. What is the name of the restaurant Monica works at?
Oh, God.
I don't remember actually clocking this, so if you get
I do, because it's spelt really weird, like Iridini or something.
I'm going to give you that, yeah.
Yeah?
Iridium.
Iridium! Yeah. Yes.
It's weirdly, it's shown like three times.
Yeah, and I do remember that panning shot. Dini, 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 dini.
Yeah.
And then like, yeah. Okay, what did I call it? Duodenum.
Iridium. Ah, it's fine.
Iridium.
You get a point for
whatever.
That.
Okay, thank you.
That'll do.
Question three. Whose farm did the Gellers send Chi-Chi to, and where was it?
The Millers? The Milners! Yes. The Milners Farm.
Do you remember where it was?
The Milners in Connecticut?
Yes!
Very I can hear good. Him saying it. Yeah. I can hear
it. Very
him.
Good.
Oh, that bit, by the way, that's my favourite bit of the whole season. Season? Episode. Because it's so well delivered from Ross. Oh, he's so one good. Of my. I think Ross is my favourite.
Yeah, it takes ages for the penny to drop there, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, and it's just the way he. It's just so well delivered with it. Oh, yeah, no, weirdly, that happened. And you think, oh, you just delivered that so well. And they're like, oh, no, that actually happened to me. That realization that you've believed something for way too long.
Yeah.
But yeah, wicked. Oh, love that.
I have suspicion because my childhood hamster died the day I moved house.
Oh, that's convenient.
I always thought that, hey, it just didn't want to move. And I've always been slightly suspicious of how that happened.
Please ask your parents and find out. Yeah, you're old enough now to know the truth.
That's true. Question
didn't go
four.
To the Milners, that's all we know.
Question four. How much money has Phoebe made in total in this episode?
She's made, £8,000 because she didn't even have the first 500. That was put in. Then she made 1,000. Then she got given 7 for the thing. Yeah. So 8,000.
Correct. $8,000.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Please don't penalise me.
We will not penalise you for the currency.
Units of currency. Yeah. Sean, you need to do the conversion into
it's
pounds.
A very strict quiz. Yes.
6,000 to 800 pounds.
Today's conversion rate, what would that be? Pre-Brexit. And question five. How does Phoebe think the nursery rhyme about the man in the shoe goes?
There was a crooked man... that's the weird bit, the crooked man who lived in a shoe. I can hear her saying it, but I can't, I don't remember.
There was a crooked man who had a crooked smile.
He lived in a shoe, and then she sort of stops, doesn't she? But I don't know,
it's
go
like
on.
For a while.
That's it, yeah.
That is one of my favourite bits of the whole episode, where she just trails off halfway through that line and goes, lives in a shoe for a while. Yeah. She's so confident to start with, and then, no. Not a bad showing on the
very
quiz,
good.
Sean Welby.
Very
not
good.
A bad the quiz bit's really fun. What did I officially get?
Three out of five.
Oh, okay, I'll take that.
3 out of 5. And you were only a year off with 4 years. So,
yeah.
Pretty good.
I panicked.
No, don't worry.
Done yourself proud.
It's a pressure. It's like being on Mastermind in many ways.
This whole thing has been...
everybody says that.
I mean, like I say, just the introduction of getting into the building and then the fact that... Just one more thing, Pete, that you don't... I don't know if you know this, but I had a lovely offer of a cup of tea, which Dave made me. It was lovely. And then I went to sit down. He's like, oh, you can't put it on the table. The table's squishy. Right?
What?
Yeah.
It's like a joke, like a prank table where it's actually made of sponge and you can't put anything on it that has liquid in it. It will spill.
Dave, where the fuck do you work?
No, the table is, this makes this, again, quite a dull detail, but it's covered in like soundproofing absorption material because they're just like normal office tables that we've converted into like studio tables in as best way we can because so we don't like have banging and everything. So,
no, you've done a very
but
good job.
It's very squishy. It's like a prank table.
Well, both of us at one point tried to put our cups of tea down and it was just like, if you could have seen us.
It's like a kids' TV show, isn't it? Sean Welby, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you,
friends.
Sean. Thank
guys,
you.
Guys, I've loved being in. It's so fun.
It's been an absolute joy to have you here. And we say this to all our guests. When you do the maths of how many episodes of Friends there are and how many friends we have, it really doesn't stack up. So at some point, you will be invited back.
Yay!
Because we do not have 240 friends, do we, Pete?
No,
absolutely not. That's it. We'll be back next week with more Friends with Friends. Until then, adieu.
Goodbye.
Whoop.
Hello, still here, aren't we? Next week on Friends with Friends is the wonderful comedy writer and podcast host of another wonderful Great Big Owl podcast, The Fear. It's Sarah Morgan. Hello, Sarah Morgan.
Hello.
Could you tease? Could you tease? Very apt for this episode, actually. Could you tease us with which episode you've chosen for next week's Friends with Friends?
I've chosen the one with Rachel's new dress.
The one with Rachel's new dress, season 4, episode 18. Go watch that. Do your homework. And we'll be back to discuss that next week. Goodbye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter.
Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.